were at tipping points in our communities, and waiting could be catastrophic, in my opinion.
Among all of the services provided by local governments, fostering economic development may be one of the most important. Grow Hayes Executive Director Doug Williams stops by to talk about area governments as economic drivers on this episode of the Post Podcast.
Matter of fact, they're critical in many of these economic issues we face because they have to be the ones that approve incentives that might be given to a developer or to a new company that's coming in, as well as, they have to also administer it and be of a progressive mind, or else a lot of things aren't going to happen that need to happen.
Yeah, and I'm curious if you want to talk about, to kind of launch this thing, the overall view of economic development to take the city government here, Hayes City Council, and they're thinking, okay, we know we got to grow. We know we need housing. We know we need this business, that business, whatever the community's telling us. How do they develop a plan and kind of make that turn into something real?
Well, in the case of the city of Hayes, you mentioned, they have an economic development policy with which they have outlined the various tools that are available to them to offer to potential investors, companies, developers of housing, that type of thing. And that's their guideline by which they go by. These are the incentives that are in place and they can offer. However, they can also go outside of that if they deem it something that they feel like is beneficial to the community. And we're very fortunate in Ellis County overall to have progressive elected officials who are concerned about the future of the community and are willing to make the investments that are needed to drive some of these things, whether it be an RHID for housing or a neighborhood revitalization program, a district that allows for some tax relief for somebody who makes improvements to a property, whether it's a community incentive district, which allows a retailer to add a sales tax to their sales in order to pay for some of the infrastructure that they have to pay for. And then there's TIFs and there's all industrial revenue bonds. There's a whole plethora of acronyms that are involved in these this economic development policy. But the key is their willingness to utilize these tools and then their willingness to think outside the box if need be. And we're very fortunate, whether it be the city of Hayes city commissioners, our county commissioners, school boards, the Ellis city commissioners, the Victoria city commissioners, the Ellis school board, the Victoria school board, all of them are very, for the most part, very pro-development and pro trying to help people make things happen.
Yeah. And as we were kind of talking a little bit before we got on air, you mentioned the Ellis School Board is one of those. And it's really interesting to me right now. They are very active in trying to figure out how to get more housing. And I know we talk about housing a lot in this segment, but trying to get housing into Ellis because they see the benefit of housing for students, for the district, for the city, for it's a driver that you can't ignore. And no one else is kind of, I shouldn't say no one else, but they feel like if they can lead that charge, it's going to have a positive benefit for their organization with the school.
Well, they do. And the reason we talk about housing so much is because it's foundational to a community and economic development. If you don't have housing, you're not going to have a workforce. You're not going to retain or recruit a workforce, and therefore you're not going to have businesses. So it's critical that we have that. Ellis is a great example because in 2004 and 2005, they had a developer over there who got very aggressive, put in some streets and built, I believe it was 36 homes in an 18-month period of time. And they saw a tremendous increase in their enrollment in the schools because people moved to Ellis and they had nice places to live. They had affordable housing and the school district saw the impact of that through increased enrollment. Unfortunately, not much has happened over there since then in terms, just one or two a year, maybe not even that. And they're starting to see, some decline in enrollment because these people who have moved over there at that time, they've kind of gone through and they're not as the young families aren't as prevalent, and so there aren't as many kids entering the school system. So we are very keen on getting some development in Ellis, and also additional development in Hayes, of course. But the challenge is we have managed to try and do all this in the absolute worst time to develop that we have seen in decades due to the cost of infrastructure, the cost of new construction, the availability of contractors to do these kind of things. So it's a tough problem to solve.
You know, on that note, is there any value to saying a city or a local or a county government at this time, maybe it's not the best time that we continue economic. Maybe we don't want to be talking about housing and growth because of that. Maybe we want to wait. Or do we just need to do it now? And maybe it'll be a better situation in 5 years, but waiting would be more hurtful to the area economy.
Well, I think absolutely waiting is, we're at tipping points in our communities, and waiting could be catastrophic, in my opinion. We heard a lot of this with the school board. It's not the right time. Costs are too high. Well, if we think they're going to be less in 4 to 5 years, we're fooling ourselves. If we think that putting it, kicking the can down the road like we did with the USD 489 school bond for 30 years or 40 years, we paid a price for that. And if we had continued to do that, we would have paid even a bigger price, because those are where I say housing is fundamental. So is educational facilities. Education is fundamental. People who look at communities like ours, like Ellis, like Victoria, they're going to look at the schools and they're going to say, is this a community I want to live in? Are they willing to make the investment in educational facilities and teachers and all of those things? Or if they're not, I got lots of choices, doctors and nurses and skilled professionals. In this world we live in today, they can live anywhere they want. So we've got to put our best foot forward in these cases. So I do not think putting it off is a good idea. And fortunately, both our community, City of Ellis, passed us, or the USD over there passed a school bond. Our cities continue to be progressive. Last night, there was an apartment developer at the work session for the city, wanting to develop 40 income qualified apartments out on the east side of town. Doesn't involve any investment or incentives from the city. It just involves a resolution of support. And they will make that decision next Thursday at their regular meeting, but I am quite sure that the City of Hayes will offer their resolution of support, and hopefully this organization will be able to get some apartments built and meet a critical need that we have in our community, which is income qualified housing.
Yeah. Good news, sounds like. I wonder, on that same note, how much direction and impact can organizations like the planning and development, the board that says, okay, yes, or okay, no, this is a good project for this location, how much can that policy really impact economic development, in the long term?
A lot. Again, as an example, City Hayes Planning and Development Department, they enforce building codes, they enforce development codes, and their willingness to work with people and try and find creative solutions is critical. And by and large, I believe they do that. Nobody likes to be told what they can and can't do. We're in a world where nobody likes that. But there are rules, there are codes and regulations that are put there most of the time for a good reason. Sometimes they're a little bit onerous, but most of the time they're there for a good reason. And I feel like, we work with the City of Hayes and the other governing entities all the time. And I continually feel like we're very fortunate, because they're all focused on trying to make things happen and help people do what they want to do instead of being a inhibitor. And that attitude in general is so critical in a community to have.
Absolutely. I wonder if you want to talk a little bit about what happens when there's conflicting interest. And I think specifically to event venues here in Ellis County, I think those have been in the news in the last couple of years of some projects that did happen, a couple that didn't. But it was a conflict between the desires of the county and the city that I think fundamentally led to that discrepancy in what we want to do next.
Well, sometimes there are those issues where the interests may be differing and perspectives may be differing. And that's when, you know, the city, the county, the school district all have to try and work together to work through those kind of things. They're not always going to be easy solutions. They're not always going to be exactly what everybody wants. You know, in a couple of the cases in the county, of course, the event venues outside of town and things, it was, you have a lot of NIMBYs, you know, the not in my backyard perspective. Everybody thinks that'd be a great idea, but I don't want it next to me. And I get that, you know, we all have our perspectives on that, and we may like exactly what we have and don't like change. And I would say that our neck of the woods doesn't embrace change as well as maybe some other areas. We're pretty stuck in our ways sometimes, and new ideas and new things aren't always accepted as well. But I think the main thing is if everybody's goal is to try and be progressive and try and make our place, you know, our community a better place to live, they can work through those things. And I think for the most part, they have. It's not that there aren't going to be some disagreements and some news stories in the Hayes Post about how somebody is not happy about this or that or what have you. But by and large, I think we do a pretty good job compared to a lot of other communities.
Absolutely. And I would say, I think maybe the interests can conflict once in a while, but everybody has the best intention of their constituents in mind. I don't think any of our local representatives from the city level all the way up to our national level guys, everybody, I think, really does care.
I believe they do as well. I think they want to make our community and Kansas a better place to live and help the people in those areas prosper. We all have different ideas about maybe how that should be done, but it's important that everybody tries to make that happen, and I believe they do.
Absolutely. Well, Doug, we've got about a minute left. I wonder if we want to talk about, I know you've got a pretty cool event coming up, and I don't want to leave that out. Next, is it Wednesday?
I think it's Wednesday the 26th is our Pitch It event. I think we've got, I think we had 7 entries. We cut that to 5. So I need to check with James and see what he's made a decision on the 5 that'll be presenting. But it's next Wednesday, the 26th. I believe it's at 6 o'clock at Brief Space. I could be wrong on the time, so make sure you check our website or our Facebook page. Public is invited. This is a Shark Tank type event where participants come in. They give a 5-minute pitch about what their business idea is. There are some judges who judge it, ask questions. And the first place winner gets $1,000 and the second place winner gets $500. So should be kind of interesting.
Yeah, I love it. And if you've got, if you're out there, you got a little money in your pocket, you're thinking about maybe investing in an area of business, be a great opportunity to meet some of those cool entrepreneurs with those ideas, right?
Absolutely.
Again, Wednesday, I'm not sure of the time, but Wednesday late afternoon, check the website.
Yep.
Again, that's growhaze.com.
It is.